B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
If you find yourself in that situation, you look at yourself and say, am I making EFG? No, you are watching the kids. Am I making ABC? No, you are doing this. That's why you're not a franchise player.
So it basically comes down to who's the breadwinner.
That's right. It always did.
Honest of you there, Mike.
No, she don't marry you because she loves you. Like, oh, my God, I just love you. So. No, but you are a provider. And when you don't do that, and when you have holes in that, then she starts looking at you. Why do you think? All right.
Mike, how real quick, how long were you married for?
I was never married. My grandfather told me, never get, no.
Man has never been married giving us marriage advice. I love it, Mike.
No, why would you go into something with a 50% failure ratio? That's stupid.
That's a good point. Hold on, let me text my wife, tell her it's over.
But that's honest.
Yeah. No, it's a good point there, Mike. Hey, what do you think about the Eagles?
I think they're going to win, and I would take them by 5 points.
Take him by five. All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate the call. A lot of insight there from Mike.
Yeah. His grandfather gave him plenty of marriage advice, and he just decided not to do it.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast. If you're not the breadwinner in your family, but you want to be, how about a way you can win $10,000?
97.5 The Fanatic. Giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download in the App Store or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This hour's keyword is job. Enter the keyword job on the Fanatic app or 975thefanatic.com or by texting the word job to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. The rules for this nationwide contest are available at 975thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword job on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting job to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic 5K Day Big Green Giveaway is presented by the all-new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Good luck. Era. We had a little mix. That was a good remix, Jamie.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
I liked it back there. So here's the problem, and this is what a lot of people have been, harping on with us this morning, is that we all look at the Vikings and acknowledge that this is going to be a tough game for the Eagles. Now, I will acknowledge that Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. Not a great quarterback, but he's a good quarterback. And a good quarterback...
debatable.
A good quarterback with great weapons is something to be aware of going into an NFL game. So I am merely saying that the three of them, Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, they're worth acknowledging in this game. Now, it doesn't mean I'm fearful. It just means I acknowledge that that is a...
they exist. Respect them.
I respect them, Bob.
Yeah,
thank you.
Unlike Jamie.
And then Dalvin Cook's a pretty damn good running back and the best
him
running back.
Him you can fear.
The best running back the Eagles will face this season until they face Ezekiel Elliott next week.
Yeah.
In a primetime matchup in Dallas.
Yeah, so we'll really find out about this run defense the next 2 weeks.
Oh, everybody's up for everyone's getting tested over the next couple of days here. That's what's happening. The next couple of weeks. That's what's going to happen here. Trey, are we wrong to look at this team and go, oh, well, the Vikings are a pretty decent squad. This will be a big test for the Eagles.
No, we're not wrong at all. I mean, this is a good squad. I mean, you know, this is a top team defense in both areas, run and pass. And also, too, this offense, I mean, yeah, you say Cousins has been struggling when it comes to passing the ball. Well, we've been struggling when it comes to covering receivers. So here we go. You know, I know that we had our defensive front went out there and got 8 sacks in this game. But, you know, how are you going to continue to do this? This is going to be a home game for this team, road game for us. They're going to be able to go off their regular cadence. So this is going to be a big test to see if our defensive line can continue to build off the momentum that they created against the Jets. So here we are. You know, This is going to be, I think, their biggest challenge so far.
Even and Ron Jaworski said that, Bob, when he was on with us at 7 o'clock. I asked him point blank, it comes to that Packers game, it comes to this Vikings game, which was the bigger challenge? He said, no question, right now, because it's week 6, teams are developed, teams know each other now, they know their playbook, they know the new players, whatever. Teams are clicking on all cylinders at this point in the season. The Packers, maybe they're still trying to find their way a little bit, just like the Eagles were, but the Vikings are a team playing at home that might have found their way on offense a little bit more.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me, because if you go back and look when the Eagles were going into Green Bay, they were 1-2. You had a chance of falling to 1-3. So I thought that the ramifications of that game were huge. You dropped to 1-3, you're in real, real trouble. This one, you know, you have a tough stretch coming up, especially 3 road games. Everybody's not every. Most expectations are they go 2-1 in these 3. This one might be the one you lose. So for that reason, I thought the Green Bay game was a little bit bigger than this. But man, you go to 4-2, you win this one and go to 4-2. I'm feeling real good about this team.
All right, let's get to Scott and Barrington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scott?
Brother Mark, what's going
on?
Hey,
I'll tell you what's going on, Scott.
Yes, sir.
Look at us right now and they're saying we're about a lot of doubting Thomases over here. We're saying that we're being negative Nancy's. We're just trying to acknowledge that the Vikings are a pretty good football. I'm picking the Eagles to win. I'll tell you that. Whether at the end of the show, you'll hear my final prediction. I'm picking the Eagles to win this game. But people are saying we're being too cautious about those Vikings.
I tell you what you do, Brother Trey, since you were a student of the game, get a picture when they came here and put that thing on the Rocky statue.
Mm-hmm.
That pissed us all off. So that's what you do. From that locker, remember what they did. But I'm confident. Let me pick your brains, Brother Trey. Of course, you guys can also give your 2 cents. And how are you game planning for a Kirk Cousins with him being 5-3 against us?
You know what? You're going to have to – first of all, you're going to need your secondary to come up big. You know, I think over Kirk Cousins, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to stop Cook. You know, what are you going to do as far as stopping him? You're going to have to make sure that your defensive line gets good penetration. You're going to have to get push on their center. I think their center is probably the weaker link out of the offensive line group. So you're going to have to get push off of him. And also, too, you're going to need your linebackers to play downhill when you see that Cook has the ball. Now, when it comes to Kirk Cousins, I think that, you know, he's just like any other quarterback. The more he gets hit, the worse he plays. So, I mean, this, like I said, this offensive line has only given up 11 sacks, you know, but you have to be able to rattle him. It's only been a couple times where I think Chicago went out there and got 6 sacks against him, and then New York, for whatever reason, got 3 sacks against him. But I think that, you know, you're going to have to go out there and rattle him. You're going to have to get helmets on him. But first, you're going to have to figure out how to stop Cook, and because they're going to lean on him before they start trying to air it out.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. And last but not least, love you guys, and enjoyed the 10th anniversary on TV yesterday. I saw you, Brother Trey, Brother Mark. I saw you and Brother Cooney. But the last one, give me your opinion on what Dusty Baker would bring to the Philadelphia Phillies. Once again, fellas, it's a cancer. Peace, God bless.
Thanks a lot. A guy that he's had a lot of success in a lot of places, still the big trophy like Buck Showalter has evaded him, but he's a guy that will at least police the locker room. He's got experience managing, obviously, in the National League before. He's been to a World Series, and he's also been a guy that has got along great with Bryce Harper in the past, and that's where a lot of the money's going, as we all know. So why wouldn't you try to further that down the road a little?
Eh.
I'm not high on him.
He has a son.
I'm more than I am with Buck Showalter.
Yeah, I'd take him over Showalter.
He's 70 years old. He has a son that's playing at the University of California right now, playing baseball. So those are two things. Like, he might just want to sit back and watch his kids. 70 years old, been in the game for, you know, almost all of his adult life.
Right.
I think Dusty Baker's a little bit of a stretch.
I would you have him or Showalter? Who do you have ranked? What are your rankings?
Well,
I have to ask.
Well,
you,
Madden is one. Everybody is else one. Is like 3, 4, and 5.
See, that's the thing. It's
Girardi, too.
People have been saying to me that I'm like a hater for Showalter. I like the free agent class that's out there right now, essentially in managers. Like, Buck Showalter's far down that list for me. Like, he's 5th.
Yeah,
there are 4 better options I see than Buck Showalter.
Yeah, I go Madden, Girardi. Socha, I don't mind. Socha might be there. Showalter. You know, somebody else. Whatever.
Who cares? Get Garrett Cole. It's all we care about.
Yeah, yep. Basically. That's the best manager you can get.
Yeah, it is.
All right, then we're going to get to somebody who's my new... go ahead.
Over Drake. Madden?
Wait, who? What?
Over Madden?
Madden is already done with the Angels. Like, I don't even consider him a real candidate.
Don't you find it weird, though, that the Angels are saying they're going to interview the other 3 candidates?
Yeah, people say a lot of things. But it's a done deal.
Deal he's in place, and then they just go golfing with the other guys?
Yeah, my buddy was out there the other day, saw Artie Moreno and Joe Madden drinking wine together. When you're drinking wine together, the interview's over.
Wait, hold. Dude, do yourself the service, man. Full credit here. Little breaking news.
Lynch leak.
Your buddy was out there in Anaheim?
Yeah. He's from out there. And he's an Angels fan.
And he saw Joe Madden.
And Artie Moreno drinking wine.
Done deal.
Hey,
wait, was there bread on the table?
Ooh. No, it was more like bar kind of cocktail-y. Oh,
so they didn't break bread?
No. But he has the house in Orange County.
Cheese? Was there any, maybe crackers and cheese?
I didn't see if there was any soft breeze or anything.
Hummus?
Like
does he have a row home in Hazleton? Because you tell me which one you'd rather have.
Orange County, Hazleton.
Yeah.
Tough.
I'm going to tell you right now. I had one of the best meals of my life in Hazleton. I'm not even kidding you.
Huh.
This little old Italian lady had a little restaurant, and it was like you walk into a living room, and she would make like, she'd do everything right there. And it was a bowl of gnocchi I had a bowl of gnocchi. Ooh. And it was out of this world delicious.
Huh.
How about that?
I'm not knocking Hazleton. It's just...
Why Orange, do you hate Hazleton?
Orange County looks like a postcard.
All of a sudden, you're putting Hazleton like it's Camden. Come on.
Don't you rail on Camden.
I mean,
spent many of my youth there.
I mean, Camden proper, Bob. It's fine.
Okay.
No, but let's get to Dante in Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dante?
What's up, folks? Come on. How's everybody doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, Frazetta, I'm out the doghouse, man.
You're what?
I'm out the doghouse.
You're out the doghouse.
Why were you in? I forget.
Oh, because, I told my wife she's not as freaky as your cousin.
Dante,
I'm out the doghouse.
Yeah, there you go. Get right on that phone, brother. I couldn't hear that. Yeah, I heard what you're saying. You told your wife she was not as freaky as my super freak cousin.
Yes.
Well, sounds like somebody's getting freaky in the background right there.
Where are you right now, Dante?
Hold on. Let me take my headphones off.
All right.
Hello?
Where are you right now? Somebody was like singing or screaming.
Oh, right now I'm at work. That's the overload speaker music that they're playing.
Oh, what do they got jamming?
Lord knows. I don't know. They play a whole bunch of stuff that I can't listen to.
Can you get into the control room and put us on?
Oh, yeah, of course. Why not?
All right, okay. Wait, Dante, how far are you from the control room right now at your office?
Okay, a good 100 feet. 100 feet?
Okay, you can do that. All right, so just, inconspicuously, walk down there, walk the 100 feet, and see if you can't put us on a 97.5.
All right, so there's only one thing, though, guys.
What's that?
I'll get fired.
I don't know how to do that.
That does put a damper on us. Can you find someone that knows how to do it, Dante?
I could try.
I'm not seeing. I'm not sensing a big commitment from you.
Yeah,
I don't think.
He doesn't sound
I just
interested.
Think you. I don't think you want to get out of your chair, Dante.
All right. How about this, right?
What do you got?
Once we get off the phone, and I do it, I will call you guys back.
All right, that's great. Let's do that. And if you do this, I'll have my cousin call you.
Can I get my 1 point out of the way first?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, as far as this Eagles game, though. I'm not as so much concerned as I would say the rest of you guys are. The Eagles did have about two or three turnovers. I would say two turnovers last year. But if you actually look at it, Linval had the fumble recovery for a touchdown, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think they got Carson Wentz. He fumbled right into Linval's hands, if I'm not mistaken.
And then to begin the second half, they fumbled at the goal line. So honestly, although Kirk Cousins did have a good day, field house against us, they only scored, 16, 17 points against us?
23.
Against our defense?
Yeah. I hear you.
Consider that defensive touchdown for the offense? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not necessarily so much concerned as everybody else is.
Okay.
I mean, I do respect, the fact that they do have Jalen and Diggs there, but I'm not much so concerned as everybody else. I think that the Eagles will pull out this W here. So I say the Eagles will probably win by five.
All right. I like it. We'll take them by 20, five.
28-23.
But, Dante, here's what you're going to hijack the radio at your office, and you're going to call us back.
I got you.
All right. And then I'll react to your very valid points about the Vikings, all right?
All right. I got you.
That's how we'll work that, Dante. Thanks for the call. See that? Now we got now we've infiltrated a workplace, basically. Do you guys think Dante just didn't want to get up?
Yeah, he's not going all
I don't know how to do that. I know how to rip your family incessantly, but whatever. I don't know how to turn off a radio or turn on a radio station. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we'll hear from Lane Johnson. But he was in the locker room yesterday. About the running attack, because I think that's going to have to be a big point of emphasis for the Eagles on offense in this game. Lane Johnson has been the angel on the shoulder of Doug Peterson, reminding him, Trey, that he's got to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, we have a little news about DeSean Jackson.
Mm.
DeSean Jackson, a secret weapon of the Eagles, whatever you want to call him, might have a secret weapon of his own to get him ready in time for next week. We'll talk about that in a few here on 975 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is a fine football Friday here on 97.5 The Fanatic, brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Trey, I don't need to know your score just yet, but are you at least saying that the Eagles are going to win this game? Are you picking the Eagles to win?
I don't know yet.
It's not 9:51 yet.
I don't know yet.
Trey, I didn't sell you with all my fine points this morning.
That was good. Whole stack of them. Whole stack of great points you had.
It was close, but yeah.
We're gonna talk to your former teammate Jason Avant coming up at 9:00. He'll break it down for us.
He's not as optimistic.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk to him.
Yeah,
because. Yeah. Like, I get the sense, like, I watch the game, and I watch the tape and all that stuff, and I go back and I watch old games and try to compare and contrast and see what the team is, like a team like the Vikings, go watch them against the Giants a little bit, see what they did there, see how that might counteract against the Eagles and all that. And you come away with the conclusion that, yeah, they're going to air it out. They whatever had happened earlier in the season, see, people are jumping on the bandwagon after the Bears game. How bad they were against the Bears. The Bears are an incredible defense.
Yes, they are.
They are a phenomenal defense. And not only are they a phenomenal defense, they're also a divisional game for the Vikings. And, Jamie, what did you go to when I mentioned Kirk Cousins was 5-3 against the Eagles? A lot of those are divisional games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they usually play pretty tough in their own division. So I'm not one of those people to look at the Bears game and overreact and go, oh, look, they're terrible. Well, no, they figured it out. They had a lot of turmoil in the locker room. One of the targets, Stephon Diggs, wants to be traded. Adam Thielen was calling out his quarterback. His quarterback apologized to his wide receiver. Like, whatever it was, they figured it out against the Giants. Now, the Giants got picked apart last night by the Patriots. I get it.
Their secondary is awful.
They had a punt go into a blocker's back.
Yeah, my buddy who's a Giants fan texted me. He's like, well, not sure I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, that was bad.
The butt block, I believe, is the term. Man, crazy things happen in the Meadowlands. But here's the thing. When I watch a team, or with a team from the Meadowlands, rather, when I watch a team like the Vikings play the way they did, and they look so bad, and then they seem to figure it out against a team like the Giants, now they're going to be home for a stretch of games that, like the Eagles, they got to win as well. And they're the home team with a high-flying offense. That's not one I'm just going to go, oh, win. And it seems like right now, our Twitter poll's dropping a little bit. More people are thinking that maybe, the Vikings will actually win this game. I got to look at it as from an objective point of view and just look at it and go, Bob, yeah, this Vikings team's pretty good. It's not one because of Kirk Cousins and because they just beat the Giants that I can just look at it and go, oh, well, who have they beaten so far this year?
No,
the matchup game, when it comes to their receivers against our defensive backs, most notably, that's what I get concerned about.
Oh, there's plenty of room for concern, Mark. And you can jump on with me because I'm Mr. You know, wait, what did Jamie? Oh, Jamie said I peed my pants.
Yeah, you peed your pants talking about Dalvin Cook.
Allegedly peed
his
pants.
I saw it. It was weird.
I cried. I did some other things. Maybe bodily functions weren't working properly, according to Jamie. But there's legitimate room for concern. Dalvin Cook scares me the most out of that offense. Their defense is tough. It's physical. I think this is going to be just a tough road to hoe this weekend.
There you go, Bobby. There you go.
Yeah.
So if they are going to win this game, I'm hoping they can avoid the shootout. I'm betting that it is going to be a high-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to see them do is be able to control the football, control the clock, keep their offense off the field, keep your defense rested, and pound the football. The way I started the show is with they have to be a completely different team than they broke camp with. Completely different. Now, DeSean Jackson, who we'll get to in a second, that he might have his own little secret weapon.
Yeah.
What they're going to have to do is get away from the idea of any high-flying offense and just concentrate on the run game and then concentrate on getting after their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, with all the blitzes that Jim Schwartz has been dialing up over the last 4 weeks of the season, because that's totally different than what they broke camp with. They have to make that continue to make that adjustment, especially in this game where they're going to have to control the clock with a team like the Vikings. That's what I want to see. Now, Lane Johnson, last year in the Giants game, said to Doug Peterson, let's run that football. We're having success running the football. Let's keep running it. They ran the football. They won the game. This year, it's happened a couple of different times, didn't it, Jamie?
Leaving Lambeau, he told John Clark from NBC Sports Philly, I think we found our identity now, meaning 12 personnel dominate on the ground game. Then last week, there was a play, and it wasn't talked about much this week, but I thought it was a pretty interesting thing that showed the frustrations of this year. Lane Johnson at one point looked over to the sidelines to Doug Peterson and gave the rolling motion with his hands, as in, let's run the ball here. What are we doing? Let's go. And then yesterday in the locker room, he talked about, you know, running the ball and how that's the key to setting up this offense and consistency. So I think Lane's a little frustrated at how little they've kind of run the ball.
This is what's amazing, Trey, because I know you and you broke down. This was beautiful the way you did this last week, talking about how, especially on the road, which the Eagles are going to be, silent count on the road, watching the center's head bobbing kind of thing, watching the center move his head left or right, and when you got to snap the football and all that. But we got into that conversation because we talked about whether or not as an offensive lineman, especially a tackle, is keeping track of, well, come on, we got to run the ball a little bit here.
Yeah.
Not necessarily charting plays, but man, we haven't run in a while, and that was working. Lane Johnson appears to be paying attention to that. Listen to the words he uses when trying to describe to the media, to the fans, what they're trying to do as an offense when they got to run the football.
Usually if we petition early and get it going early, we don't have to beg, but... that's really it, man. If we can get the run game going early, it makes the game a whole lot easier for us. So, and we know that. So going in, man, in games like this, is just all about, you know, one play at a time. The crowd's going to be into it. So a lot of the office lines about getting the communication part aspect down. So that's really all we're worried about.
Petition? Yeah. Beg for it? An offensive lineman. We pointed out Doug Peterson yesterday.
When you string all three together, Lambeau, the comment last week telling Doug to run it in game, and now that.
Uh-huh. So you mean
he's frustrated.
So you mean, hold on a second. So Doug Peterson, this is an anomaly in sports nowadays with nobody wanting to offend anybody. Doug Peterson, 2 days ago at his press conference, talks about Rasul Douglas needs to, or excuse me, I'm sorry.
Sidney Jones.
Yeah. Doug Peterson talks about how Sidney Jones needs to push through injury. And then on the next, media session, Lane Johnson's in his locker saying that they have to beg or petition Doug Peterson to run the football. Hopefully we can get it going early so we don't have to beg. I don't think he's obviously not doing it intentionally.
Petition and beg.
Trey, is he speaking for himself or the whole offensive line?
I have no idea. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Really?
When it comes to something like that.
Would that put you off if you're another offensive lineman?
No, I guess if that's how he feels, you just kind of let somebody speak their mind. But, you know, to say that to use that type of word, I don't know, you know, what he's talking about there. If they feel like they have to beg for it, I mean, is that where they are? Was the run play not working? Was there a reason why Doug got away from it? Maybe you weren't getting the job done.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
You know what I'm saying?
A little self-reflection.
I'm just saying, you know, if you have to go out there and beg for the run, then what were you doing to make them feel like, you know what, we can't run the ball?
Well, I feel like what he's saying, he is speaking for himself. I'm not going to say he's talking for the whole offensive line. That's Lane Johnson talking. I'm not saying he's talking for Jason Peters. He's not talking for Jason Kelce. That's him making that comment. He does say, we don't have to beg for it. Uh-huh. Now, that could just mean the entire offense. So I'm not going to go into the exactly what he means in terms of talking for anybody else, but Lane Johnson lets you know right there, a Pro Bowl right tackle lets you know that they need to start running the football more. He has petitioned it in the past.
He would definitely be the most vocal of that group.
Yeah, I think so.
at least outwardly to the media.
I mean, with Jason Peters, Jason Peters barely talks to the media.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not going to say something like that to
actually,
the media,
you know,
just because he knows how.
Yeah, so I think Lane kind of speaks for the group.
I'm in the locker room a bit. I don't think I've ever seen Jason Peters.
No, he gets probably treatment during any time the media is open.
Was that media? Yeah, I got to get treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an omelet waiting for me. That's in the cafe.
I did have a big interview with Nate Herbig, so don't miss that.
Ah.
Apparently, he's become Zach Ertz's agent. Nate Herbig was stationed. Oh, Trey, you'll appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz fielding questions from the media. I go up and I talk to Zach. And I go, hey, Zach, can I grab you for a second? And Nate Herbig goes, oh, you're going to have to talk to me. And I go like, huh? And Zach goes, yeah, you're going to have to talk to my agent real quick. And I was like, and he was doing this. I saw him doing it with other people as well. And I was like, oh, you're his agent now? And Nate Herbig's like, yeah, I'm his agent now. And I was like, well, can I talk to him? He's like, if it's okay with Mr. Ertz, you can. And I was like, Mr. Ertz, that's odd. Okay. And then I interviewed Zach Ertz, but then we talked to Nate Herbig. I got the big scoop. Well, we were having a little fun in the locker room yesterday. But here's the thing. If you're going to have your offensive lineman petitioning your head coach to run the football, the guy who's calling the plays, that tells me that your head coach doesn't have the best feel of the game. Now, it tells me that he can take input from his players, which is great. I think every coach needs to have that attribute. But if you have players telling you that you, hey, look, raising your attention that you haven't ran the ball in a while, that is a little concerning.
Come on, man.
What? Why?
Come on.
That's a player saying it. It's not even me saying it.
You can't take everything that Lane says and say, okay, now Doug doesn't have a good feel of the game.
This is the third time we have an instance of this.
Yeah, not even the comments so much, but calling him out and pointing to the sideline in-game, Trey, I think is significant.
Yeah. That's why he should just be quiet.
See, that's the teammate in you.
Yeah.
That's the teammate in you.
Exactly.
That.
Be quiet, because everything is going to be overanalyzed,
all
and
right.
Then here you go.
All right, let's put you in the locker room.
Let's see. Let's look at this now.
Okay.
So, all right, you had the bad snap. Let's see. You had a couple. You had a stuff run. You started off the run with a stuff run. Your first play was what? Negative. It was negative 1 yard.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So, you know, that's how you start off the game. All right. So
with what running back?
Oh, Sanders? That was Sanders. Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. But I'm just saying though. It was.
No, I know. I'm just saying it should be different. It should be different this week.
Okay.
Why is it Lane in charge of the running back rotation? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
That's a great question.
All right. So then let's see. Let's go to the next series. I think you had another stuff run with the tackle trap. And then let's see. Had a pressure. Someone got hit. You know, quarterback hit. You only gave up 1 second that game. I think it was 5 quarterback hits.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, another run stuffed. That was Isaac got pushed back. Yeah, so let's just do your job. Instead of making those type of comments.
Can I put you back in the locker room for a second?
Uh-huh.
You don't have to practice or go to training camp. I just want to put you back in the locker room, okay?
Uh-huh.
What are you saying to Lane Johnson?
If anybody's going to say anything, it's going to be coming from JP.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If JP ain't saying nothing, I mean, it obviously Lane continues to do this, so no one is saying anything.
Uh-huh.
Or they're on board.
You think so?
Well, I know. I'm wondering. I'm saying, or they're on board. If he keeps saying it, and then, you know, if he's not getting, I guess, any backlash from Brooks or from JP, as you said, well, he feels free to say it. Maybe everybody believes it.
You just got stopped on a quarterback sneak. So whose fault is that?
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to go and make that comment, you just got stopped on a quarterback sneak.
All right,
it was 4th and 1.
Conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. Jason Peters told Lane Johnson to say that. So he wouldn't get ripped by you, Trey.
No. So then, all right, and also, too, on that one particular play where you got stuffed on a quarterback sneak, you started that series off with another stuff run.
All right, well, let me just ask you this. Does it appear to you that the Eagles get away from the run game fast? Do they get away from it too quickly?
Nah,
Do they abandon the run?
Wait, look at, I mean, what do you mean? Look at what's going on, though.
I don't get the sense.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that they've abandoned the run. Like, what Lane Johnson is talking about right there, I feel, are the moments in the game where they tend to go pass happy. And the example I'll always point out is the great drive that they had against the Redskins in the first game of the season to open up the second half. They marched down a football field. They had 12 plays. 9 of them were runs. They got down the football field by a little ground and pound there, okay? And then this game against the Jets, you have a guy like Jordan Howard touch the ball 3 times on a touchdown drive, and then he doesn't touch the ball for another. He doesn't touch the ball twice, 2 more times in the first half. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think those are the moments. It's not nearly as bad as we've seen in the past, most notably in your era, Trey.
Uh-huh.
But what I think what Lane is saying is spread it out a little bit. It doesn't have to be in bunches.
And look at all the penalties that these guys had, too.
Five penalties in the offensive side of the ball last week.
How many of them were from the offensive line? I believe Lane had two.
What's Lane saying about that?
Yeah, like, what do you, like, you know, when you start the series, you started a series off which was an inside zone, which was a holding by you.
The reason this comes up now.
So now you're starting off, what, first and 20?
Yeah.
So the reason this comes up now, Trey.
So you're going to have to pass it.
Uh-huh. Okay, but what I'm saying is, well, the reason this is so important now in figuring out that right balance, and I think they've had a good balance, but it's come in bunches, is you're going into a game where I think you're going to have to control the clock against the Vikings.
All right,
Is that crazy?
No, not at all. And I think that when you look at what Green Bay, they went out there and they rushed for, what, 36? They had 36 runs. They had more runs than passes against Green Bay. Okay, you go against the Jets. You had all of these penalties in this game.
Yeah,
I mean, you took several steps back in this game. So to come out and say that, hey, well, you know what? We got to beg for the run. Well, the coach probably begging for less penalties, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I often wonder about Doug Peterson's patience early in a game. I know there's scripted plays, but, you know, does he get off of things, whatever. But if you look at it, the first runs of the game in the five game, first time the Eagles ran the ball in the game, all five have been to Miles Sanders. And they've gone for 2-0, -1, -4, -1. So nothing good has happened on their first runs of game. Nothing's good happened on their first plays of game. They've gone incomplete, complete, incomplete, -4, -1. So, like, things don't happen right away. And then I wonder if Doug gets a little impatient. I got to pass, you know, to make up for, like, what Trey's talking about.
So I
think it's interesting. This first series is going to be interesting to me. You know, do you get positive yardage on your first play? Are you not facing 2nd and 10 or even worse, as Trey said, 2nd and 20, whatever it may be? I just need to see this team do something different early to get off to a better start.
It's Jordan Howard, right?
I would think so.
Of them saying he's the number one back now, and is he like a home run hitter that's going to make you miss and break off 75-yard touchdown runs? Not really, but he is a guy that gets pretty much positive yardage almost every single time he's out there. So I think it could be as simple as just starting the game off with 2nd and 6.
Now, all this changes a little bit if DeSean Jackson is still healthy, right?
Absolutely.
And as promised, I want to get this little nugget of information out there. Because he's still being bothered with what Adam Schefter basically called a sports hernia.
Yeah, I'm terrified of this, and I think he probably should have had the surgery.
Well, according to Jeff McClain, he quoted DeSean Jackson earlier this morning in a tweet and said that it's a small tear, but it's something that is already healing. So that's good.
Healing. Huh?
Now, we hope to have him back here as a fan base for the game against the Cowboys next week. But DeSean has called in, as Jeff McClain is saying, his Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, I saw these pictures.
Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson flew in his longtime trainer to Philadelphia to help him recover from his abdominal injury.
Is this man Asian?
He's insistent.
Because how you going to Mr. Miyagi? Is he Asian?
I'm just asking. Don't you Miyagi shame. You don't have
I'm
to.
Not
you don't
Miyagi
have to be,
shaming at
I
all.
I think you're Miyagi shaming.
I'm not. Not at all.
I don't even know if it's a man.
Maybe. Is it a female Asian?
Maybe it's...
There was some very close to the crotch massaging going on.
Really?
Real close.
Yeah, I haven't seen the photos yet.
Not Boston Dangler type stuff, but...
Oh, no?
No. They were really close.
Is it security footage? Are these screen grabs of security footage?
Is it, hey, you got to move that to the right a little bit?
I would say it's that close, Trey.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, though. DeSean Jackson is saying it is not a hernia.
Okay, so but aren't ab tears just basically sports hernias?
You know, I don't know these things. I don't know. Trey? All right, we'll find out whether or not this Mr. Miyagi person is in fact maybe from Okinawa, which is where Mr. Miyagi was from. All right.
I see.
There you go.
Yeah, we have to check into this.
610-632-0975, 610-632.
I'm looking at the video. Yeah. I think it could be a female.
Could be female.
Tough to tell. All you see is four.
Could be a female?
Huh?
Nothing.
He's a she?
Did I say he's a she?
Yeah,
she's a...
Yeah, something like that.
It could be a female?
I blacked out. I don't know what
I don't
happened.
Know what
you
say.
They. Thank you. There you go, Bob. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, top of the hour, 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to the one, the only, Mr. Jason Avant. And then, I don't know if you saw this or not, there's a little issue with China going on in the NBA. Huh. I got a little, fear not, because there's help on the way.
Okay.
Nah.
There's an ambassador that has volunteered his services. Mike Missinelli is volunteering his services to help the Phillies scout in the Dominican Republic. Guess what? We got someone who wants to help the NBA in China. And I believe it's the perfect man for the job.
Absolutely.
Time of the Fanatic, 8:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Getting a lot of feedback on the old Twitterverse here, as well as the Twitchiverse.
Twitchiverse.
Yeah, well, we could use that.
Twitch.tv. People watching. People getting this feedback.
What are people talking about?
Oh, yeah. What's the matter, Mark? Are they one to meet your cousin?
What are you concerned about there?
Yeah. Let's see here. We have one person messaging us on Twitch saying toughhoes.net.
Toughhoes.net.
I guess that's a reference to the tough road to hoe.
Tough road
to
hoe.
Yep. Yesterday was awesome with All-Star Day. Oh, this person got us when we were at 69 viewers, so thank you for that, said John.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Someone's a regular listener. Oh, I can't read that on the air. And, yeah, people are just being being cool.
All right, cool.
Not too many suggestions for who the Phillies' next manager is going to be, but...
Gary Cole. It's the best hire they can make.
That is the best hire. Just, you know what? Let's go with, what did the Cubs do, like, in the 50s, College of Coaches? Did you ever read about that?
No.
Neither did I. Watched a documentary. But
reading.
Yeah.
Who's got time for that?
Morons and read stuff. But no, they had College of Coaches. They had, like, six different coaches manage their ball club.
That's wild.
Yeah. So maybe Charlie sticks around. Maybe he's going to be one of the managers.
I'd love him to continue on as a bench coach. You know, I doubt that's happening.
You know what would be stupid money? John Middleton spends money on Joe Maddon, Mike Scioscia, and Buck Showalter. And they'll manage the team.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
Not even a little bit. You know, there was some news recently.
Yeah?
With China.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but apparently two people got escorted out of the Wells Fargo Center for having free Hong Kong. There's this big political thing.
It happened in D.C. the following night as well. But they didn't get kicked out. They just, I believe they just took their signs, but they did not kick them out.
In D.C.?
Yeah, in D.C. Yeah. Philly, they did.
Right.
Yeah, but I think the NBA kind of corrected themselves and was like, whoops.
Yeah, so follow the money, folks. The NBA is basically in bed right now with China, right? That's pretty much what's happening. So follow that for a second. But help could be on the way because none other than...
Don't say it.
Diplomat, ambassador, and once, I believe, a bride at a wedding, Dennis Rodman. Oh.
I just watched the 30 for 30 on him recently.
Well,
I saw parts of it. I thought it was interest. Really good. Really? I didn't. Yeah.
Dennis Rodman's offering his services to not only go to China, but go on the next flight Adam Silver has to China with Adam Silver to solve any problems the NBA could be having with China.
Why not?
I agree with you, Trey.
Yeah. Why not? You know, not it'd be fun trying.
Because I'll tell you right now, if we could get a week of fodder out of a horrific best man speech that pointed out my cousin being a freak, just think what we could get out of Dennis Rodman making a trip to China.
Why not?
Do you have him volunteering his services?
Yeah.
Here's Dennis Rodman saying what he'd do.
Commissioner Adam Silver, I know a thing or two about diplomacy. Book me a ticket to Shanghai with you. Ambassador
Rodman. I'm sold. Why not?
I know a thing about diplomacy.
You sent the man over to Korea. Where did he go?
North Korea. North Korea. Kim Jong-un.
Did we?
Yeah, he went over there to Kim Jong-un.
Hold on.
Took him some Jordans.
Easy on that whole we sent him to North Korea thing.
Oh, whatever. He went over there. Took some other guys over there. Took him a pair of Jordans. Hey, boom. Crisis fixed.
No, what I'm saying is, we as a show did not send Dennis Rodman. We as a nation did not send Dennis Rodman to North Korea.
He went over there on his own.
He was like, oh, hey, you guys got some
food. There's a problem? All right, then, yeah, I'm cool with him.
You guys ever see me dye my hair?
Yeah.
I'll be right over there.
Yeah, just hang out, went on over there with a fishnet shirt on and a suit jacket.
Like lipstick.
Dennis Rodman made a movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You know?
Was it Double Trouble or something?
Double Impact, maybe.
Double Impact, yeah.
There was a time in my life where I saw every single one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's movies.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I missed the one with Dennis Rodman. Like 13-year-old me was like, I think I'll skip that one.
Yeah, man, Dennis Rodman put on a suit coat with a fishnet shirt on underneath. Bam, went over there, crisis fixed, took him a pair of Jordans, now, some 11s.
He wasn't married to Madonna.
No.
No, he was just smashing.
That's in the 30 for 30.
It was good?
Recently he made news because he told a story that Madonna was willing to pay, I forget the amount of money, $20 million or something?
Yeah.
It was an absurd amount of money.
For him to?
To impregnate her.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. So wait a minute, he turned down $20 million.
I think that was the number. Seed.
Yeah.
I traveled 3,000 miles to give you my seed.
Ah, good times. Dennis Rodman, always
what
entertaining.
What a life. But the 30 for 30 is very entertaining, I thought.
When's the 92 Dream Team, like, four-hour special come
Seriously,
out?
Seriously, that would be awesome.
I saw they released, like, some kind of trailer for it.
Oh, my God, the trailer is awesome.
And then it comes up on the screen, coming in the year 2047. And it's like, what? How do you have it? It looks like it's done. I just saw some of it.
And by the way, it was $20 million. He said she allegedly offered
$20 million.
Yeah.
To go ahead and just...
So she hit him up when he went to the Spurs. Because when he went to the Spurs is when kind of the worm was born. Uh-huh. Started dyeing the hair, getting real freaky, like Mark's cousin. And then she took an interest in him from there.
She wanted some Spurs sperm.
Pretty much. There we go. I believe.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Right. Hashtag.
Yeah. Did
you say worm sperm?
It was not some Spurs.
Well, some worm sperm.
Spurs sperm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going. Worm sperm might be better because.
Could he send it to her or did he have to actually deliver it?
She was sent a private. The offer was that she sent a private jet for him to come impregnate her and $20 million.
Oh, he couldn't send his worms. He had to deliver them.
That's
like,
not how
right
it works,
there.
Bob.
Unless
you have the proper facilities.
If you're paying somebody $20 million to impregnate you, I'm assuming you can get to the.
Yeah, he's just carrying it with him as like carry on.
Well, he can go, you know, give him the magazine, say, hey, we
worm sperm
to
needs
Madonna.
To be kept at the right temperature.
That's right. Where do we go?
We go to an apology because I have to apologize. I was wrong about something.
Oh. Mm. It wasn't Dennis Rodman after all?
No, it was the name of the movie was Double Team. As I break my mind. The name of the movie was Double Team. God. It was Dennis Rodman, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then
Madonna?
It definitely wasn't Madonna, but okay, all right. Now I have to tweet out the trailer to this movie. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Anthony Shantz, for correcting me on that one. You are correct. Jamie, you were correct as well. Hey, speaking of hoops, let's get Vernon in Philly up here. What's up, Vernon?
Oh, my God, man. Y'all just went off the rails.
What are you talking about? We're talking Eagles-Vikings Sunday.
I mean, I hear you, but y'all started with talking about, you know what I'm saying, the China, and then y'all went to Madonna, and then y'all had, like, the worm sperm and the... You know what I mean?
Welcome to the morning show, Vern.
Would you turn down $20 million, though, to impregnate Madonna?
Yeah, there you go.
Trey, me and you both are married, so, and you are married. All of us married. Hey, anyway.
I think my wife would be mad at me if I turned down $20 million.
Yeah, I think the missus would be like, hey, look, baby, look.
You got to do what you got to do for our family.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. No,
Vernon. He can't even get his point out.
No, Vernon, you're onto something here. What if it wasn't even you had to have sex with Madonna? What if it was just $20 million for the hibbity-dibbity? I mean, like the side hibbity-dibbity. You know what I'm saying?
No.
The seed.
Thank you.
Just
right.
For the seed.
Yeah. So, Vernon, what do you think about the Eagles?
So, yeah, Madonna make a movie for you and give you some lotion? That's what you're saying? That's what happens?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.